prophecies will fail, tongues will cease, and in time knowledge will vanish. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but in time that which is perfect will come, and that which is in part will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child and understood like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is Willie Jolly. Visit my website at williejolly.com for free motivation and make every minute count.
The views and opinions expressed on KYND 1520 Talk programs are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, management, other hosts, or advertisers. Show topics on this station may include conversations on any lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practices. KYND, a Synergy Broadcasting Company. KYND, Cypress, Houston, a Synergy Broadcasting Company. Your kind of radio. Happy holidays from the powerful 1520.
Welcome to the Chat with Pac radio broadcast. I'm your host, Yuri Solomon, in the studio with Pac Pastors and our president, none other than Wilford Dorden. Pac stands for Pastors Advancing the Kingdom, and that's what we're working to do. We're working to get the gospel to all the four corners of the world. Pastors Advancing the Kingdom. Today's show topic, we've been dealing with values. We've been dealing with values, our values that we teach in the class, and sometimes they go by different names. We call them achiever values, but whatever the case is, they will increase your value. So we're going to continue that topic today on the show, and you can call in, join this conversation at 832-230-5592. We're talking to you, want you to talk back to us, and you can call that number anytime, 832-230-5592, and join our conversation. We really do want to hear from you. We're going to let our pastors chime in and introduce themselves at this time.
Good afternoon. This is Harry Coles at Equippers Bible Fellowship, 2600 Chew Street, Houston, Texas, 77020. Our morning Bible studies at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, and our worship service starts at 11. You're welcome to come and join, hear the word, grow in the word. Welcome this afternoon.
Pastor James Warden, Second Baptist Church in the Heights, 810 West 24th Street. On Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30, church service 11 a.m. Tuesday night, Bible study 7 p.m., you're welcome there, but more importantly, you're welcome to the show today.
Pastor Ralph Crowder, Club Creek New Life Community Baptist Church on the southwest side of Houston. Our Sunday morning worship starts at 10:30.
Wolf Garden, Whippers Bible Fellowship, and Harry Fit It All.
All right. So we've been talking about our core values. Again, goes by different names, core values, achiever values. But anyway, these are things that will increase your value and your worth, most importantly, in the hand of God.
All right.
That God can use you, and God always uses us in relationship to people, And so people will find you valuable if you have these five values operative in your life: faithfulness, integrity, truthfulness, stewardship, and servanthood. Those are the core values that go into the programs that we teach and that we train in, and that changes, literally changes people's lives.
You're absolutely right.
Many testimonies. And so if it seems like for some reason, you know, that life is just not working right for you, it's not working. What's wrong with my life? what we do is we help you to understand exactly how life works in the relation in relationship to how God designed it.
Right.
Now, so if you want to know more about us, I wanted to get this in early. If you want to know more about us, go to our website.
And that's going to be chatwithpack.org. Chatwithpack.org.
All right. All right. Now, we want to start out today's show slightly different. And we still talk about these achiever values. It's going to be two or three shows more for us to complete this series. But we've been talking about how these values operate, and sometimes I think the guy that called on last week was named Mark.
No.
And Mark started off by asking the question, are you talking about saved people or are you talking about unsaved people? And so it gets kind of murky in terms of the way that we are talking about these values. And the fact of the matter is that they work for unsaved people and they work for saved people. And they work in different ways. In other words, for saved people, they become an eternal value and worth.
Right.
But for unsaved people, they are temporal in their value and worth. In other
right.
words, they don't go beyond earth. They don't get you no brownie points with God. It's just the way God has designed life to work. And so the distinguishing factor between the two. And if you read the Bible long enough, you'll understand these couple of terms that you find in the New Testament. Sometimes it's referred to as the kingdom of God.
Yeah. All right.
And other times it's referred to as the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you read those commentaries, it gets a little complicated. But we're going to try to simplify it for you and get you to understand how these values cross over. And the kingdom of God talks about creation.
Right.
The kingdom of heaven talks about redemption.
There you go.
Now, the kingdom of heaven obviously operates under the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get to heaven, you can't get saved unless you come through Christ.
Right. Right?
But once you're saved, you operate in the kingdom of heaven.
All right.
But when you're not saved, you still operate in the kingdom of God because we all belong to him. We're all created by him. And so that's the type of stuff that we're communicating. And I'll say this, and we can take it up, brethren, after this. And that is that the kingdom, when Jesus says, this is how the kingdom of heaven operates. For instance, he says that it starts out with faith, starts out as a little mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
And it grows into a big tree.
Right.
What he's doing is he's bringing out principles in creation and in physical life.
Right.
And telling you how it operates the same way in spiritual life.
All right.
But a man is not spiritual unless he's been born again.
Well.
And so it has no spiritual value in the kingdom of God, but it has spiritual value in the kingdom of heaven. Somebody want to take that up and talk about it?
Man, you've done a good job. I think I got heaven and God down. Yeah, and what when Ray asked a question about stewardship, he wanted to know with that question was how did it work itself? Could it work itself in non-believers and believers the same way? And during that time, I took it all to a spiritual thing and said, yes, but it doesn't. It's the reason why we're doing this, because the natural person is really not going to understand, nor does he want to.
Right.
So his stewardship stuff is going to be particularly toward whatever his lifespan or his life ideas are doing. His stewardship would be to his job or to his family, but it may not have any godly significance.
Right.
He might not have a problem cheating on his wife. He may go to work. You remember the story about the guy that goes to the chicken place? They give him too much money. And then he finds out he has too much money, so he takes the money back. And when he takes the money back, the owner of the chicken place was so enthused with him bringing the money back, he said, well, let me take a picture of you and my wife. And the guy said, that's not my wife. But he had enough moral value to bring the money back. He still didn't have his wife. It was not his wife. That's kind of still in the kingdom, while it's kind of going on, it's not supposed to. Because our stewardship is primarily based on the core values that Christ has given us so we would reflect him.
Right.
He's always going to have integrity. He's always going to serve. He's a steward over what the Father has given him.
Right.
He's always going to be truthful. He's always faithful. And those are the core values we're trying to pick up and say, if you take those home, get empowered by that Spirit, your house is going to be better. We as a people will be better.
Right.
Because we will be known for that kind of integrity. And so when we get together as a people, because we have the same core values, how powerful will we be as a people?
Right.
Is where we're headed. Once we receive that kind of power, it is only as good as the power remains in our homes. Because we have to transfer that power to our siblings.
Right.
We have to transfer that power to our kids. We have to transfer that power to everyone in our circle of influence. And once that happens, we as a people and the inner city are stronger. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we mean by healthy. Because once that happens, we can talk about anything, we can communicate properly. When we mature in that, we're going to maintain that power and not lose it, because a dominant culture will come to us and tell us something different. And that's what's been happening to us as a people. We'll let the dominant culture come talk to us as if we really need to be, approved?
Mm-hmm.
We have to get there, whatever, to make ourselves whatever. So we want to do this so that if God is the only one we're listening to, we'll be the better.
I like that idea of that God is the only one we're listening to, because ultimately that's what it means to be spiritual.
Right.
Is that what happens and what occurs in the physical really doesn't matter, because we leave the results. We leave the results to God. That's y'all.
Yeah.
We leave the results to God.
So we want to try to communicate that peace so that those of us who really, there's a lot of people in the church been hurt because we're not behaving the way we should. And that's because the core values are not operative as we've been led by the Spirit.
Mm.
So a lot of people are disgruntled with the church, disgruntled with spiritual things, don't want to return to participating in anything God has, spiritually wounded. All of that's out there. So what we want to do here is try to bring some reconciliation to that idea. And so that if we can hook everyone back to listening to Christ, reading your biblical reason, trusting in God, that kind of thing, then we become strong as a people again. Remember, the civil rights movement was led by someone that knew God. Yeah. And so we really wanted to kind of clean that up with this segment, because that was something we left off our last segment with kind of a question mark, and we wanted to come in and try to get that kind of straight.
Yeah.
And again, I want to go where I was going with that. We leave results to God. I'm reminded of that verse that says that they died never receiving the promise.
Right.
You know, and that was the indicative of people of faith in
Hebrews 12.
Hebrews 11, the hall of faith.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
So, and that's the way that spiritual people operate. We leave the results to God.
Yeah.
Whereas when in the kingdom of God or in the created world, that had not place their faith in Christ, well, it's all about results right now.
Right.
And what happens to me on earth right now, because the carnal mind is at enmity or at war with the way God does things.
Exactly.
So we want the results right now. That's in terms of creation. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Mark. Mark?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, how you
doing?
Hey,
good afternoon. How are y'all doing?
What's going on, Big Mark?
Yeah, it ain't too much fun. Y'all know I like to check y'all out every day.
Y'all out on that. Y'all, back in, bro.
It's me, you know what I'm saying. But you know what?
What's that?
I want to say this here then. I mean, some people believe in God, and some people believe in the devil, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you this question then. Well, What if you a Republican or a Democrat? Which one is you talking? Somebody's always got a problem with reaching there. Well, they call them this, we call them that. I mean, we what is it, man? I mean, I'm confused, and I'm not, I know I ain't the only one confused. You see what I'm saying? I think the Republicans.
Well, what happens with that? You're driven by your convictions. We follow Christ. We don't follow Republicans or Democrats. Because everybody, while they are ordained by God, we get our instruction from the Lord. Mm-hmm. So if the Republicans or the Democrats go off, it really doesn't matter to us. We recognize that the Democrats are going to be for expanded government. We recognize that the Republicans are going to be for limited government. Everybody talking about the Constitution, and in our world, everybody got game. So what we try to do with it is put Christ down, because if we follow Christ, we're not tripping about who got elected.
Right.
It's not.
Well, what about some of the Republicans say they following Christ, and then some of the Democrats say they following Christ, but. By the looks of it, I say when Donald Trump say he following Christ, and Hillary Clinton say she following. But which one? I'm telling us the story, man.
Well, you know, deception is a part of this created world. Yuri was talking about, and deception is what you have to look for. Christ shows us what the truth of the matter is, and we're able to discern between the two and make the necessary decisions as necessary.
Right.
But we're not rocking.
So what you're saying is that Donald Trump needs to come forward and tell the people that, hey, I know Putin was cheating and hacking.
I don't know what Donald Trump needs to do. The Bible tells us to pray for our leaders.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying that's what the man that founded had a gay got too much change. He had to turn around.
Let me just say this.
If you know what you did wrong, it was wrong.
There's nothing we're going to be able to do to control those people. That is a waste of time. You voted and got them in. That's it. You're not going to be able to put that kind of control over there. But when we talk to the Lord about it, He's going to govern it the way we should. That's why in this system we can vote from whom we want. But trying to make a mind is a totally different kind of idea. And so what we're talking about here is if I have all of those who are listening to Christ vote one way, then we have power. But the power is not about getting somebody to do what I say. We need better streets. We need our homes. We need better conditions in our communities. We need
that's
better
situations. That would be the system, and that would be the government, governor that we're governing under.
That's going
to. And if it's crooked and it ain't no good and it's got too much sin in it, I mean, and we all participate in the game.
Mark, guess what? It's always been crooked. it's been crooked ever since Adam. Adam fell, man.
Yeah, it's been crooked.
And the Bible says that we ought to pray for our leaders so that we can live peaceably here on earth among them. And that means that we have a greater president. We got a greater king, and his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
And He determines whether we can live peacefully as Christians, even when Bush, Obama, or Trump or whoever the president is, it really doesn't matter.
As African Americans, we not living as peace, man. They getting slaughtered and shot down in their own country unarmed.
But that's because we're not talking about as African Americans. Yeah. We're talking about as believers.
Yeah, and not to mention this.
I just wanted to put it out there. We're a race of people that's being destroyed.
The problem is sin. The problem is, and with that sin, the problem is the lack of achiever values. Because if I have the achiever values that Christ put in me, I'm going to have self-restraint. If I have self-restraint, I'm going to have a higher moral value. That's going to stop me from killing people. That's going to cause me to love folk like I should. And
what do you believe that?
Hey, Mark, do this. Do this for me. Hold on, Mark. Stay on the phone line, Mark, and we're going to be back right after this. You're listening to Chat with Pat, Changing the Inner City One Family at a Time.
KYND 1520, KYNDradio.com.
Did you know over 50% of the working population are employed in small business, and that 65% of all new jobs since 1995 were created through the innovation of small business? Being an entrepreneur isn't easy. I know this challenge firsthand. Hi, I'm Stephanie, founder and CEO of Trey Magazine. This holiday season, I ask you to join me as we start a new tradition, one that strengthens our local economy, expands employment, and nurtures our community. Discover the difference you can make when you shop local. Go to TreyGreenBook.com today.
Get connected. Spend smart. Shop local. Find your tribe at TreyGreenBook.com. That's TreyGreenBook.com. Empowering our communities for a stronger tomorrow. Know a small business you want to support? List it for free now at TreyGreenBook.com.
African American News and Issues is your source for news and what's happening in our community. The largest black-owned newspaper in Texas and the number one 100% black-owned worldwide digital news source. African American News and Issues keep you connected. Pick up your copy today or find us at aframnews.com. That's aframnews.com. African American News and Issues, addressing current and historical realities affecting our community.
Nation light is on your side. You got an early morning death sigh. Looks like those rays aren't easy to tie. Nope. How do I retire at 50 side? Sure, you can keep the kitty side. That's why there's Nationwide, helping to grow and protect your many sides. Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Happy holidays from us, wishing you the best. 1520 KYND.
Welcome back to the Chat with Pack Radio broadcast. I want to remind you that you can learn more about us by simply going to our website, which is
chatwithpack.org. That's chatwithpack.org.
All right. And then if you want to know more about our classes that will be convening on the 9th of January, then you can give our offices a call at 713-784-6055. Find out about our classes or call and find out about what we're doing, period, because we want to get as many people involved in it as possible. As a matter of fact, the name of this broadcast, PAC, stands for Pastors Advancing the Kingdom, and we want as many pastors that will get involved with what we're doing across the city as possible. We have multiple campuses across our city. Central campus is in Fifth Ward, but we have a Southwest campus. We have a Northwest campus, we have a North campus, and we're trying to get the Southeast campus up and going as we speak. And so there's a whole lot going on. This program over the last 4 years has impacted over 2,000 men and some ladies, as a matter of fact. And so we want to invite you to take part in what we're doing, because we're partnering with as many people as we possibly can. So call our offices and learn more about us. Get some brochures in the mail or something. Just call 713-784-6055. We also have on our website some materials that you can download and learn some of the things that we're talking about. Follow along with us. Those materials are terrific for references, and that's one thing. If you go through our class, you get this material and you can reference it time and time again. So we invite you to go and get our material as well. We want to recognize that, as you probably can tell, one of our beloved pastors and partners in this work is down. He's ill today, and that's Pastor Marshall.
Yeah.
So we'd appreciate it if everybody offer a prayer for Pastor Marshall and for his speedy recovery and return to the mic.
Yeah.
We would appreciate that. Now, all right, we're going to go back to the phone lines. Again, we're talking about achiever values or core values. They're the core values of our program. And, again, those values are faithfulness, integrity, truthfulness, stewardship, and servanthood. Now, we contextualized it because we need to understand that faithfulness works. People who are faithless and true to their commitment, keep their promises, keep their word, stuff like that. Be true to their intent, mean what they say what they mean, all that kind of stuff. Integrity, which kind of sums the whole thing up, that will people who do that, it works for everybody. You can be a Muslim, you can be a Buddhist, you can be, all of the great religions of the world are really based on the Ten Commandments. They are Ten Commandment based because God's stuff works.
Yeah.
He built the world for it to work that way. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. All of that stuff is about social relationships, how we treat one another, and it works.
Yeah.
It works. And so so we need to understand that in the context that we introduce of the kingdom of God. Works for everybody.
Right.
But when it comes in terms of reaping rewards, eternal rewards, spiritual rewards, no believer, at least we shouldn't be, is looking for all of this stuff on earth.
Right.
We're not looking for all the return on earth. Mm-hmm. We know that we got some heavenly stuff waiting for us, you know. And so that's what we're getting at. The stuff works, but for believers it works eternally. For unbelievers it works temporally.
And that is the connection to the resurrection. Because the resurrection deals with Jesus coming out of the grave and not being in that tomb.
Right.
So that hooks to that reward that we're going to get when we come out of the grave on the other side. And that eternal context is what separates from the secular or the temporal, as you mentioned earlier, because the temporal has no hope past the grave.
Right.
There's going to be a new city, a new heaven, a new earth, a job. It's going to be a lot of stuff to do there. Therefore, we're carrying what our rewards are to the other side, where most, if you're not with Christ, it's not going to make it. It's not
going to
go.
We're going back to the radio to the phone line, sorry, with Mark. And this is what we're really getting at when we talk about the condition of the world and who's president, who's not president, and their values and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about the fact that we're not that attached to this world.
Yeah.
Right. We get the fact that we're dual citizens. We're citizens of the kingdom, and we're citizens of this world. And that we're in the world, but we're not of the world, as the scripture would put it. We get that.
Yeah.
But Christians have an eternal perspective
that
God is in charge, regardless of who's president or not.
And I think that's Mark's concern, because Mark's concern is, what about the presidents and all of the people who are supposed to at least have that kind of stuff in leadership?
Right.
We don't see it. But what are we supposed to do with that? Mark, you still there?
Call it.
All right, well, we think we lost Mark. But, again, so, looking back at these values, again, we've been talking about them, and we want to review them again for this show: faithfulness, integrity, truthfulness, stewardship. Can we get an example, Will, of how, again, and you've given it to us, but let's talk about faithfulness and how faithfulness works in the created world. And then how Jesus said, well, this is how it works in the kingdom.
faithfulness is in the creative. It's going to always be tied to self-righteousness. It's going to be tied to whatever you're personally trying to get done for whatever reason. And so when it's tied to your self-righteousness, you're going to be faithful as long as you can get the immediate reward from it. Right? So if I go to work and come home every day and my wife is coming home like she should, then I can see my faithfulness working. But my faithfulness is only as good as somebody else is immediately responding to what I'm doing with it. Where in the Christian faith, we do it because God has shared with us to do it.
And not necessarily, just that word immediate, I guess I want to be careful about that, because it could be long term. It could be long term. And so as long as it's sort of viewable as long as we can calculate it, you know, we're willing to go with it. For instance, we'll have a retirement program, and we'll be faithful to sowing into that retirement program, looking for the return. Some folk mad about Social Security, right?
And I was using immediate in the terms of temporal. Mm-hmm. I want to see it
right now.
I want to see it during the time within the context of my expectations. And so long as it's coming in the context of my expectations, I'm sort of satisfied.
Yeah.
But when my expectations are not being met, I'm becoming more and more disgruntled. Then I begin to say, okay, well, faithfulness must not be working or it's not worth it, or that kind of thing. But recognizing that people who value you will always come to you because faithfulness is what creates your credibility. It's what makes people believe you, who you are, what you say you're going to do, those kind of things.
So, even if you're not saved.
Even if you're not saved.
If you're not saved, it works for relationships.
And that's pretty much, that's what the world has done. We call them moralists. Moralists are people who just abide by the morals, but they don't want God in their business. They're just moral. And some moralists are better than some Christians. Because they're going to abide by those, because like you said earlier, they recognize they work. Right. And even those who have atheistic agendas against God are moralists, because that's how they state their case. They state a case that says we don't need God because we're just as moral, if not better, than some believers. Mm-hmm. The problem is the morals are only stuck to time.
Right.
They cannot take you past the grave, because all of your works are filthy rags before the Lord. Because you must be empowered by him. Just make it plain, God is only recognizing what he does. If it's done in any type of human context, God does not accept it. Any kind of, so that your best work is only as good as it satisfies you, because God's not with it. He in his perfection, he must do the work. So he placed us in Christ, so when he looks down, he sees Christ, he doesn't see us. He called us before the foundation of the world and gave us positional theology so we could be with him, because it's his idea. And so when we line up, we get all of that when we come to Christ. So God is satisfied. We don't have to do all that work. I'm not trying to work to get in. I'm not trying to like you. Because Christ has already done the work. Mm-hmm. Where a moralist is, he's got to get up and be concentrating on making sure that his morals are in place that day. Once you hit the three strike, you're out rule, you know. Because humanism says I'm all right. I must keep my flaws under control. So you know, so I'm just as good, but every time I have two or three flaws, I gotta keep them under control. Well, Christianity, Christ has dealt with that.
Yes,
he's dealt with that. So we're not doing all that work, because we're already resting in Christ. Is what that means.
And what makes Christianity so freedom is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
We're free. We're free from the works, from the works result ideology. Although there is a works result component within it in terms of rewards, but we're not trying to get to heaven.
Right. So the freedom pushes us to loving God and loving people, because that's the reason he saved us, so we could show his love to people. And that's pretty much where we're failing. Because we're not showing, especially in leadership positions, we're not showing the love of God to people once they get on our nerve. We show, that's why the Bible says the wrath of God does not satisfy the love of God. And God is not trying to show his points by wrath. It's the love of God that causes us to change, not the wrath.
All right. And so integrity, again, let's do it on both sides. I mean, they overlap, but...
Yeah, doing right because it's right. But it means that my righteousness is dictating my decision-making. Doing right is going to... I'm not going to ever try to do anything against you, because I'm always concentrating on doing right. And then so out of that integrity, now my credibility is not only deeper, but with the integrity, people want to respect you. People want to listen to you. People want to be... Your influence can go there. Your influence can also allow others to say, okay, this is a worthwhile person that is believable. And once you believed, and you know, everything else kind of lines up.
Yeah, one of the guys that I go and get my car worked on, I always go to him because he's shown himself to be consistent and to have integrity. Again, that word integrity, integral, woven together perfectly, perfectly fit. And I've gone to him, and when my car, I thought it was acted up, I let it run all day. Nothing happened to it, you know. And it's working fine. Take your car home, you know. Yeah. Man, I could fix this for you. But actually, it's under warranty with the dealer. Take it to the dealer; they'll fix it for free.
That's integrity.
You know that's mm-hmm. that's integrity.
Yeah.
And so, again, on both sides, what does it do for me as a and I know, but let's put it in some kind of scenario. What does it do for me when I'm not saved versus when I'm
so saved? Not saved is your mechanic. When you're saved, and we have to go and we're sharing Christ with people who we want to bring into the kingdom. That integrity says that I look like Christ. So that integrity says you're believable when I talk about the things that come from Scripture. That kind of stuff says, okay, I believe that he sincerely is trying to say what God is trying to do. So in the secular world, it's only as good as we can do business. Because without God, money is the thing that everybody's after. And money is what causes everybody to start cheating, wanting to cross some stuff, wanting to get over on people. That comes out of lack of integrity. So those who have integrity become more credible because they can be trusted with whatever we're doing in a secular system where there is no moral law.
Now, again, application... I have a choice between going to the, quote, Christian mechanic versus the secular mechanic. Now, that's always a toss-up for Christians, right?
That's a good
because
point.
Because do I mean, this Christian's work may not be as integral, or he may not just be as good.
That's exactly right. And so with that, you know, you go to a Christian, he's supposed to have integrity. You give him your radio, he give it back to you in a bowl. His whole Christian context is now just destroyed. Because the expectation that you had from him being a Christian is not living up to the reputation by which you're now seeing.
So on the level of just living in this world, we may have to make decisions to go to, say, a doctor that's not a Christian versus a doctor that is.
And a moralist is going to help you no matter which way you go. Because a moralist is always going to want to do it like it should be done. Just basically because of the morals.
Mm. All right. I like that because, you know, in my young days, when I grasped these kind of principles, I was like, wow, Christianity makes sense. And that's what we're, you know, trying
exactly.
to do is to show you that, I mean, it makes very good sense
yes.
when you understand it in the context of how God intended for it to work.
And it's seriously important when it's time to die. Mm-hmm. Because when it's time to die, it's not time to play. I had a friend of mine who was Muslim. We were good friends. He was talking about all the things that he was involved in. And I said, that's great. There's only one question I have. Does it have enough power to get you past the grave? Because if it doesn't have enough power to raise you out of that grave, 1 John 3:2 says, little children, we don't know what it's going to be like, but we do know we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Mm-hmm. We recognize that when he comes out of that grave, he comes out, people handle him, they touch him, they see him. That kind of thing is seriously important when we read Scripture, because we have to have some type of proof that there's life past the grave. That's what's being missed in our Christianity today. We're just going to church, we're doing worship, but the grave part is the reason we do everything we're doing.
It's the power.
It is the power.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and knowing that you're not going to hell when it's time to die is the greatest assurance you can ever have. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring it back if you have integrity and stewardship, because that kind of life assures you that Christ has been walking with you all that time. Now you don't have to find him or try to meet him when death shows up, because you've been walking with him along those ways. You see what I mean? And so you see Stephen in Acts 7, time to get stoned. I mean, he knows where he is. His reasoning's working. And so when it's time for him to leave, he can exit out because the Spirit of God is going to take him out.
Okay, we're going to come back on that point. You're listening to Chat with Pack, changing the inner city one family at a time. We'll be back after this.
1520. KYND.
This is Bill Russell. I ain't got much time, so listen carefully. If you or your family member are looking for a new or used car, truck, or SUV, I've got every make, model, and brand. BMW, Range Rover, Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Honda, Mercedes, Lexus, Nissan. Did I say BMW? Of course I did. Before you drive all over town and get jacked around, call Bill Russell at Momentum BMW, 713-596-3100.
Go see Houston's car legend Bill Russell now at Momentum BMW Southwest.
Attention churches and nonprofit organizations. Dawson Chemical and Janitorial Supply Company has all the chemicals and janitorial supplies you need. Toilet tissue, paper towels, trash can liners, styrofoam cups, plates, and more. They also offer churches and nonprofit organizations 10% discounts and free same-day delivery. So give us a call today at 713-697-7137. Mr. Dawson has been supplying Houston area large and small congregations for over 36 years and has three area locations to serve all of your paper, chemical, and janitorial supply needs. Dawson Chemical also sells commercial janitorial equipment, buffers, vacuum cleaners, steam cleaners, wet and dry vacs, and more. We also repair all types of janitorial equipment and provide a full line of pest control for your do-it-yourself convenience. So give us a call today at 713-697-7137 and let Dawson Chemical meet all of your paper and chemical supply needs. Again, call us at 713-697-7137. We look forward to your call. Any church that spends $100 will get a $25 gift certificate that can be used with your current purchase.
Did you know over 50% of the working population are employed in small business, and that 65% of all new jobs since 1995 were created through the innovation of small business? Being an entrepreneur isn't easy. I know this challenge firsthand. Hi, I'm Stephanie, founder and CEO of Trey Magazine. This holiday season, I ask you to join me as we start a new tradition, one that strengthens our local economy, expands employment, and nurtures our community. Discover the difference you can make when you shop local. Go to TreyGreenBook.com today.
Get connected. Spend smart. Shop local. Find your tribe at TreyGreenBook.com. That's TreyGreenBook.com. Empowering our communities for a stronger tomorrow. Know a small business you want to support? List it for free now at TreyGreenBook.com.
From Summerwood to Sunnyside, on the air everywhere. Everywhere. The powerful 1520.
All right, welcome back to the Chat with Pac radio broadcast, changing the inner city one family at a time. I want to remind you, in our last quarter of the show, you can call us at 832-230-5592 and join us in this conversation. I want to thank those who have called in the past shows. This is show number 16. And want to just say, hey, you make the show what it is,
mm-hmm.
and we thank you for that very much. Want to remind you, you can learn more about us at our website,
and that's going to be chatwithpac.org.
All right, there you will find information and you will find materials. Remind you that you can find out about our upcoming classes for January the 9th. Matter of fact, you can begin to register with those classes right now by simply calling 713-784-6055. And we will point you to a campus that is near you, and you can get this teaching and this stuff that we are communicating over the air as best we can. But, boy, you'll get it up close and personal. And our class is a very personal bowl because we believe that discipleship is done one person at a time.
Right.
And we're not trying to talk to big crowds. We're trying to help people understand how life works according to God's design. Now, we've been talking about, kind of right into the power of the resurrection, you know, and when you start talking about these values, the problem with the values is that when you try to stick to them, let me tell you straight up that Satan's going to attack you.
Right.
Because that's his job, that's his business. Yeah. is to keep you from doing what God and operating according to God's design, because when you trust God, then guess what? You get God's results.
That's right.
And so he wants you not to trust God. And so he always attacks you. And I brought that up because Paul ties the resurrection to suffering. And that's what these values are going to create in your life. That's why a person is not truthful, is because it's going to cause some form of suffering, whether that form of suffering is just patience. Patience is suffering. And so it's going to cause some form of suffering, and the power to get through that suffering is resurrection power.
That's right. And so recognizing what that says is recognizing one day you have to stand before God and give an account. And when you have to give an account, he's going to, with all the power he's given you, there's no need to lie if you're living like you should. And so when the integrity becomes a behavior, you're moving away from lying because you're moving away from doing wrong. Lying usually come because you're doing wrong or because of some persecution from wrong. And so when we start taking a look at that, I keep my mind on, I'm going to have to stand and I'm going to have to give an account on how I'm a dad. I'm going to have to give an account on how I've been as a pastor, how I've been as a friend, how I've been as a husband. I got to give an account of that. And the resurrection assures me that I'm going to be there. The resurrection assures me that that day is coming. The resurrection assures me that, okay, and catching cancer says what? Moment surely dies on his way. And so we live in the light. If you watch Christ, Christ was always talking about his day of death was coming. So he placed death in his life activities. If you're not saved, you're trying to get rid of death. You're squashing it. You're trying to move it away. You're trying to hide it. Only to discover it's going to catch you one day. And when it does, now you have to deal with it. Well, the believer is already reconciled with that. So the Bible calls it a sting. So it's going to sting us one day. Mm-hmm. And that sting is going to catch us, and all of, the sorrow, all of that is a part of that sting. But at the funeral, the legacy of the life that's what the celebration's about. The fact that here's the legacy, so they're going to review how you live. These core values are going to resurface. Well, did he tell the truth? Was he a good husband? Was he a good... that's going to come back, and everybody, even the moralists, find a way to lie at the funeral. Because most of the time, their life is not that. So what we're saying is, if you walk it like you should, it's going to all line up. The funeral is going to be fine. People are going to get the closure they need. People are going to take a look at the legacy you've left. People who want to know where you are, if you went to heaven or hell, they're going to know
right
how to find you when it's time to leave here. Because you left a legacy that says, okay, faithfulness. He was true to Christ. He was true to his wife. He was true to going to work. He was faithful to all that. Then that means he's got to be there. You see, he was a servant of Christ. He served us, so he's got to be there. So the whole line of our lives is going to be a manifestation that can be found at the funeral. Because people be able to take a look at and measure that life and know based on what life is supposed to do. And we've been in enough funerals to know about
it. And your life could communicate death as right. well. In other words, right. ways that are dead. I remember a girl standing up in a funeral and saying, one thing about daddy, y'all say what you want to say about him, but he loved his money, he loved his how to dress, and he loved his women, and that communicated to people in the audience, especially probably young men, that, hey, this is the way you ought to live.
Yeah. Exactly.
But what you're saying is everybody don't go to heaven, even though we want to put them there. And so going to these values we have, when we look at it from the Christian values, you said, Pastor Doran, that it boils down to being empowered to live it.
Yes.
And going even to our caller, earlier. But if we could get people to live these Christian values, we don't care, as you said, about Democrat, about Republican, black, white, it doesn't make a difference. It's the idea if we live these values,
yes.
the world would be a better place.
Right.
And then you'll see Jesus, and as you said, Pastor Darden, get it well done.
And I think sometimes we miss the fact that life is about children.
Right.
From the very beginning. I mean, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and dominate it. That's the first commandment that is in the Bible.
Right.
To men. And to men and women. And if being fruitful and multiplying, producing children is the first thing he says, then how important is that?
Right.
And that our life really is lived out in light of having spiritual children. Even your physical children are to become your spiritual children.
Right. That's right.
And so our whole goal is to leave a life and a legacy that as the Proverbs say, our children are arrows that we fire into the future. And that life and legacy ought to go down, as the Bible says again, over and over, to the third and the fourth generation, or to my children's children and their children, you know.
Yeah. That's exactly right. If you take a look at Martin Luther King's life, I mean, the life that he suffered for African Americans to be free is hooked to the fact that he's going to the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hooked to the fact that he don't have to be here. The resurrection is what he says, I'm not going to be with you here. But mm-hmm. everybody recognizing that there's a heaven over there, recognizing that God, that King connected back to the Moses idea. Now, when we die, you know, we're going to go see Jesus and Grandma and everybody, but we might stop by and see what King doing in the new kingdom. And that part of Christianity is missing, because we've limited Christianity to going to church on Sundays.
Right.
Getting up on Mondays, going back through whatever we have to do. We're missing the glorious part of it, which is the part that gives us life. That part gives us life because it brings the eternal value and hooks to the core values and give us a deeper reason for what we're doing. So now, even though you get on my nerve, I can love you anyway.
I believe one of the reasons that we're missing that in the church is because, you know, we're going over these core values over and over, over and over. And I believe that's, you know, we got so much of that lacking in the church. And that's what's causing the problem.
Wow,
that if we could just get people to understand, hey, I've got to live for Christ. I've got to live a certain way, because we're doing it on Sundays, but Monday through Saturday we're failing.
Can I ask this dangerous question? We're gonna move on this dangerous question. Will child support communicate these values?
You gotta pay them, man. You gotta pay them. You're not paying it because the money. You're paying it because it's your child.
Put
the
clothes on their back.
Yeah, it's not about if she's gonna spend it or not. It's my responsibility to take care of my child. So now, not just support. I need to get into my child's life.
Right. Right. If he's into, if the dad's into the child's life and showing integrity and being truthful and being a good steward and servanthood and being that when they say they're going to pick them up and doing the things, being involved,
right.
Then it will show it. Now, if it's just, right,
that's
it will
exactly
communicate
right.
the value. But now, if it's just paycheck, they ain't right. communicating
not
nothing.
Yeah.
Right, that's putting some clothes on their back, but that's not communicating what we're talking about.
Right.
So, speaking of which, what should dads be doing about Christmas? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Good segue.
Good segue.
Yeah, as Christmas approaches, we thought we would want to kind of talk about what that's about, because there are a lot of misunderstandings. There's a lot of different ideas out there about it. And so what we wanted to do was get on board to bring it into play so that you could at least get some good ideas or thoughts about how that ought to work during Christmas. And everyone knows that Christmas is about Jesus coming in the time to take care of our sin. That's what that's about. God is choosing to bring him in, so it's now for him to come in, and nothing can happen unless he produces the way that we have to go. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and he has to come a man in order to take care of the sins of man, because he has to live a perfect life in our spot.
Mm.
And he's got to go from the cradle to the grave to make sure that he is fully man, because as a man, he got to take care of the sins of the world as a man.
As a man.
And so he is fully God, fully man. The man part of Jesus is the part that submits to the Father, shows us how to submit to the Father, shows us how to walk, shows us how to be the example, shows us how to pull that power to us when our human stuff is not working. And so we do classes on spiritual growth so you can recognize when you have, when you're walking in the spirit and having the power, or when you're walking in the flesh and you don't have the power. And so reconciling that and growing to spiritual maturity, where you, that empowerment is a behavior. Loving God, loving people, and being able to transfer the values of God to other people is what Christmas is about.
Right.
Because it can never happen if Jesus doesn't get to earth.
Mm. Now, we're going to get beat up real bad by theologians, but you're using this, the man part of Jesus.
I understand.
The humanity. But anyway, one of the big deals when we talk about Christmas in the concept of his incarnation is the virgin birth.
Right.
Some people say, I don't believe that he was born of a virgin.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, Luke 1:35 talks about the virgin birth, because he can't have a human father, because he must be, God the Father must be his father in order for that salvation part to work. And so coming in through the virgin is how God is selected to get that done. And that's what Christmas is about.
Well, now that, you know, this just hit me, as one of my preacher friends said, I just had a flash. Look, one of the great demonstrations of that, even though he was born of a virgin and put into Mary's care, is that he still needed a man in his life.
Yeah, for sure. And that's Joseph.
Yeah.
And that's Joseph. And Joseph being, and so we do the thing with the masculine versus the feminine, and I think it's seriously important. Because the masculine is the part that gives us our malehood. The masculine is the part that allows us to resemble what God wants us to be as men.
Right.
And the responsibility in the masculine causes us to provide. The responsibility of the masculine gives us the power to make real tough decisions. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that's attractive to women when they see men can take those tough decisions. When men is going to provide security, when a man is going to be responsible, that is attractive. And so God uses Joseph to symbolize those things. He's going to take care of Mary, even though there's some trauma out there, some chaos out there. It's all right. Get up, take that boy to Egypt. He's going to get up, and his masculine responsibility is going to do everything God says until it's time for Joseph to exit off the scene and the father to come in and to be the real piece that he has. You remember in Luke 2, when he's in the temple. Mm-hmm. They can't find him for 3 days. He said, then you know I'll be by my dad's business. Now he's transferring what he needs to be into what he's got to go do. You see what we're saying? And so what we're talking about is the men supposed to be transferring these values to their sons. Mm-hmm. So that the son can become responsible. Son can become, can start making tough decisions. Not cry when it gets too hard.
Mm.
Not whine because it's not going right. Yeah. You got to get you past that to the point to where you can go to work when you don't feel like it.
Right.
Yes.
You can go ahead and do some extra stuff when you're tired. That's what the masculine, empowered masculinity begins to do. Now, out of that, the woman can see, I really got me somebody mm-hmm. that's going to put out my insecurities. I really have somebody that I can get behind and be a helpmate to. I can get with some. I can go nurture this guy. Don't worry, baby. It's going to be all right.
All right. That's your teaser. We're going to talk about Christmas next week. All right. Let me do this. We've been talking about the power of the resurrection and how important it is. So tell us, what if you got 2 minutes to live?
Are we out of time?
We're almost out of time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, if you only have 2 minutes to live, the first thing you have to do is ask God to forgive you of your sins. Second thing you need to do is believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ on the cross for you. Third thing you want to do is ask God to send you the Holy Spirit so you have a relationship with him and you know it.
And you know it.
You need to recognize Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, once you're sealed in the Spirit, it's impossible to go to hell.
Mm.
It's impossible. I'm not going to hell.
That's something to shout about.
I love that word when it comes to my salvation. Yeah. You're not sealed until, but no. You're sealed unto.
That's a preacher. That's a preacher. That's the preacher part of it. You saw that? I can see him right now. He rose. The third day he rose, he's going there. I see it right now.
Yeah. Well, we have a great show for you lined up on next week. We're going to talk about Christmas and some fantastic elements in that story. As you've already heard, the Christmas story, it's a story that keeps on giving and giving and giving again. Right.